But it's good to see you today. Today being Sunday, January the 12th, we're going to do part number two on this lesson, lesson number four, entitled Precepts for Living. Precepts for Living. This is in the new series we began in December on walking wisely in a foolish world. Walking wisely in a foolish world. And I want you to look again at our theme verse today for this lesson. The theme verse is found in Proverbs chapter number 2, verse 6. And it said this, it said, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And we want to look at this today, and we want to find out, what is our precept for living? What is our perception for living today? What are we living for in this world? Well, I think about all those folks out in California right now. My goodness, living $5 and $10 million homes, got all kinds of cars and wealth and fortune and pictures and paintings and possessions and deeds, and it's all burned up in just a moment of time. And now they have nothing. And many of them don't even have insurance now to cover for their losses. They've lost everything. And you know, you look at things like that, and this world today thinks, boy, I'm living for what I can have and hold in my hand, or have in a bank account, or pass on to my next generation of children and things like that. But you know what? When all of it's done and said, the Lord Jesus Christ is what we live for today. As a child of God, Paul said it this way. He said, "For me to live is Christ." To live is Christ, to know him, to serve him, to obey him, and to die is gain. We've got nothing to lose, but when we leave this world, we got everything to gain. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the perception of wisdom. If you've got your bulletin, I've got the verses there for you. We looked at the perception of wisdom, and we understood about Solomon's wisdom and where that wisdom came from. Where did it come from? It came from God, did it not? It was not his own wisdom. It came from God. And last week we got into all the different aspects of his wisdom and how God blessed him and gave him wisdom. And I wanted us to look today. We're going to look here at 1 Kings chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 29. This is where we stopped off last week, talking about Solomon's wisdom and how it had reached the ears of all the world, all the inhabitants of the land. And in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, the Bible said this, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding." I want you to notice that. "And God gave wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart." In other words, he gave him a compassionate heart, "even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calcol, and Darda, and the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about." Now, if you go over in that same book, the book of 1 Kings, go to chapter number 10. Go to chapter number 10 and look at verse number 1. And the Bible said here in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 1, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." She thought, "Well, I'm going to go and see about this testimony this man has of all this wisdom that his God has given unto him." Now go down to verse number 6. The Bible says, "And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Wow, can you imagine that? Happy people working for you. Can you believe that? Everybody today, you hear about people working in different companies and they're not happy with their boss. They're not happy with their job. They're not happy about anything. But you know what? God gave this gift to Solomon. And that's what made it special to the people. It was of God. And people in all the lands heard and saw those things. And Solomon's wisdom was known and it was heard of throughout the world. But best of all, the world knew that Solomon's wisdom was not of Solomon, but it was of God. And folks, that's what the world needs to see today. I stand amazed at all these people. I saw a video this past week of the folks in Hollywood when they were doing their global awards, and they were mocking God, literally mocking God, and laughing and making fun of God, and giving on this scoreboard thing that they had up there. All these people had scores, and God had zero. Zero. God scored zero in their eyes. And the next day, their city began to burn as if it were in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it today continues to burn. And then when you hear the reports, they're asking for people to pray for them. Now, we're talking about a land of fruits and nuts, okay? And they don't want God, but now they see their need for prayer. Folks, the wisdom of God excels it all. Amen. And you know what? One of the wisest things that you and I will ever do is to see our need of a Savior and come to Him and give Him our hearts, our lives. And we believe on Him. We receive Him as our own personal Savior. And we give Him all the glory and the honor that He deserves. Listen, the Bible tells us here in 1 Kings chapter 10, we're there in that chapter. Go down to verse 23 and 24. And look at what the Bible said. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom. Now look at this. Which God had put in his heart. You see that today? God gave Solomon that wisdom. Many a king would desire to have that type of wisdom and that kind of knowledge, but few, if any, were willing to go to God and simply ask for it. And you know, God gives us in his word in the book of James chapter 1, verse number 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God doesn't get mad at you when you come to him for wisdom. God doesn't get upset when you go to him and say, dear God, I don't know what to do. I need your help in my life today. God wants us to come to him. Now, I want us to go down to this section number B in section 1. And I want you to see today that there is a difference between godly wisdom and human wisdom. Okay? I want you to see that there is a difference. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, again, we look at this verse, James chapter 1, verse number 5. And here, James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's important to remember that Solomon's wisdom, as we look back through the book of Proverbs and we look at all the other things, it came to God, it came to Solomon because he asked for wisdom. You remember we looked at that last week in the lesson, 1 Kings chapter 3, 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And God told Solomon, he said, ask anything of me that you would want to have. And Solomon remembered the words of his father. And Solomon remembered that he was just a man. And he was not able in his own power and in his own wisdom to lead and to guide the people that God had set before him. So what did Solomon do? He went to God and he asked for wisdom. There is no wisdom, folks, like the wisdom of God. Amen? There is no wisdom. And though the world may claim to possess great wisdom, there is a definite difference between God's wisdom and human wisdom. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want you to look at verse number 20 today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And Paul asked this question. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You know, the governor of California thought it was more wise in his eyes to save the fish and divert all their water into the Pacific Ocean until somebody went out and started a fire, and then they didn't have water to put out a fire. You know, the wisdom of men is foolishness in the eyes of God. It's just simple foolishness. I want you to go to James chapter number 3. Look at this today. James chapter 3, verse number 13. James 3, 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, now look at this, it's first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we understand then the fact that what is oftentimes perceived by the world, okay, is perceived by the world as being wisdom, is actually proven to be nothing but foolishness in the eyes of God. Why? Because true wisdom comes only from God. I stand amazed. I've reached 8 months now since I had my hip replacement. And I stand amazed that God would give unto men, to doctors, the wisdom to be able to go and do what they did so that I could be able to walk again. Amen. I stand and I look at these folks that have been through heart surgery, okay? And they have bypasses. Brother Dennis, you've had the bypass. Many of you have had these heart surgeries. And you go in and you're thinking, wow, man, they actually stopped my heart. They're holding it in their hand. They're repairing it. They're fixing it. And they're doing all this stuff. And how are they able to do that? God has given men the wisdom to do these things. It's of God. It's not of man. Man says, oh, it was just an accident that we formed 50 billion years ago or however many years ago it was. But it's God that gives wisdom. And you know, today we need to understand there is a difference between godly wisdom and human wisdom. Now I want you to look at this. I want you to see the difference between simple wisdom and foolishness. And foolishness. What does it really mean when we perceive some to be wise and we perceive some to be foolish? What does it really mean today? When we think of somebody being considered as foolish, we oftentimes think And we mean that that person is, we call them stupid. We say, oh, they're just stupid. They don't have any learning. They don't have any schooling. They're simpletons. They're empty-headed. They're void of any amount of knowledge. That's what we oftentimes think, is it not? But the book of Proverbs does not define a fool in this way. And I want you to understand today, look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, and we're going to begin in verse number 18. And here God put it into the heart of Solomon to write these words. He says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Boy, is that not a great truth? What a statement. I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 11. The Bible said here, Solomon writes, as a dog returneth to his vomit. Well, that's not a pretty sight, is it? You ever had a dog that got sick and you go to get something to clean it up, and by the time you get back, it's gone? That's what he's talking about. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, Solomon never wrote of a fool as being stupid or empty-headed. That's not what he's talking about. But rather, he describes a fool here as one that is continuously evil and one whose outlook on life is based upon his own stubborn pride and arrogance. It's built upon his own way of living. He doesn't refer to God as being the wise one in his life. And Webster defines a fool as this. This is what Webster says. Webster defines the word fool as being a person lacking in judgment or prudence. A person lacking in judgment or prudence. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there are instances where we see a fool here is referred to being flippant or impatient. They're without proper discernment. They don't have judgment in their life as they ought to have in matters. And he's rude in his actions toward God and toward those who love God. And Solomon here, basically, he presents the fool as one who knows the truth, but simply refuses to acknowledge it as truth. He refuses to acknowledge it as truth, and he refuses to practice it in his own life. Bora, is that not what we're seeing in our world today? Foolishness. And folks, listen, maybe that's why the Apostle Paul, God had him write these words in Romans chapter 1. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 just a moment. And beginning in verse number 16, he begins talking about this truth that is refused, is rejected. But I especially want you to look at verses 20 through 23 this morning. Romans chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 20 through 23. And he writes here, he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, who is he talking about? Those who rejected Christ, those who have rejected truth. They knew truth, but they rejected it. They turned it aside and didn't want to have anything to do with it. Look at what he says next. So that they are without excuse. Why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Folks, this is how the world sees wisdom. They don't see God because they don't want to have anything to do with God. That's why there is something called the theory of evolution. They've done everything they can do to put God out of the picture. And you know, the amazing thing is they've sent up all these satellites and this new James Webb telescope that is far more powerful than even the Hubble telescope was. And they're looking out there, and all the things that they perceived in their little minds, they're coming back and saying, we're having to rethink this now. We're having to reconsider our thoughts about creation and where all this came from. And they're seeing that these things could not just have happened. There had to be a creator. Boy, is that not what God's Word told us here in His Word to begin with? They rejected truth, but now they're finding out, listen, God really is there. And listen, in contrast, a wise man or a wise woman is not necessarily one who has great intellect. I knew my grandmothers, I never knew my grandfathers. They had died before I knew any of those. But those ladies, they didn't go to high school. Okay, they were farmers, and they became wives and mothers at an early age. But yet they were some of the wisest people I knew. And I never will forget my grandmother telling me when I was, you know, talking to her about things, and she said, son, you came into this world naked as a jaybird, and without Jesus, you're going to leave it the same way. She had great wisdom. She knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, that's what we need to have today in this world. Listen, the world doesn't need another PhD. It needs somebody that knows J-E-S-U-S, and they have a degree in the Bible. They've got something here that they can say, I walk with Him. I talk with Him. I know Him. He walks and He talks with me, and I know He's real today. Folks, listen, the person's wisdom that comes from God will prove to the world that their wisdom is nothing but foolishness. Their wisdom is foolishness. So let me ask you something this morning. How do you and I truly perceive a wise person today? How do you and I perceive a wise person today? If we look at what the Bible says, there's a big difference. Now, I want you to see something today, and I want you to see this in the New Testament book of Acts. Acts chapter number 4. In Acts chapter number 4, verses 5 through 14, there was some wisdom here and boldness that was shown in the lives of people that were regarded as being unwise. But listen to what the Bible said. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, okay, these are all the wise people, okay, religious, and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, talking about the disciples, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. They were talking, he was talking about Jesus. They had rejected their Messiah. They had rejected the chief cornerstone. They had turned him away. The builders, the ones that were supposed to be leading the people, had turned him away. Now look what he said. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Boy, they were quite bold about that, were they not? Now look what the rest of the scripture says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, what? That they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing about it. They could say nothing against it. That's the type of boldness and wisdom I want in my life. Amen? Is that not what you want today in your life? To let folks see Christ. Listen, they don't need to see the man. They need to see the Savior. And they need to see what the world does not see. They need to see the wisdom of God. We've looked at the perception of wisdom here in Solomon's life. But now, I want us to look and understand exactly what a biblical proverb truly is. All right? A proverb. What is it? Let's look at it today. A biblical proverb differs from a biblical principle. Okay? It differs. There is a difference. I want you to understand that a biblical principle is simply a statement from God that demands our obedience, such as the Ten Commandments, all right? We're to obey God's commandments. Those are those principles. But a proverb is a simple observation. It's something that people see, they understand to be true. And it's a statement of proof of something that they know to be real. Does that make sense to you? It's a statement of one's obedience unto God's word and unto God's principles. It's something they see in our day-to-day lives. For example, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, just a moment. A lot of folks look at this verse and they don't understand what it's really talking about, but it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, many people claim this verse as a promise, but in actuality, it's not a promise from God, but rather it's an observation that Solomon made that when he observed parents who were faithful and consistent in teaching their children the Word of God. They were faithful to teach them the things of God. There were results that showed up in their children. Now, you may be one of those that says, but preacher, I did that. And my children, some of them turned away from God. Listen, every person has to choose what they're going to do with truth. But you know what? Even when people reject truth, they cannot escape the reality of that truth. You cannot escape the reality of that truth. And Solomon's observance was that when we do what is right, then God will bless it. And you know, I have seen children that have turned away from God. And I have seen folks that got away from the things that they were taught as truth. And they come to that point in their life and they say, you know what? What my mom and what my dad taught me really was true. And I've got to get back to truth. And you know what? The sad thing is many times they allow pride to keep them from coming back to the truth that they know would be a help to them. And that's why we need to pray for them. We need to stay faithful before them, to love them and to teach them what thus saith the Lord. Listen, don't let the devil discourage you and make you think that living for God does not profit. It does. And it profits in the lives of those people that we reach, that we teach. But they need to see its consistency. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1, just a moment. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Look at this just a moment with me. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. That's an observation that Solomon saw. And he's trying to speak these things to his own son. And he's trying to teach him, listen, son, you need to be wise. Because a wise son maketh a glad father. Now, I see that in two perspectives, okay? I see that, number one, when a son is wise, he makes his father to be glad that he was faithful to listen to what his father had to say. But I also see this in the perspective of that young son, that as he grows up, that wise son becomes a glad father that serves God and realizes that, listen, you know what? Listening to the words of my father were right. They were right. They were there to help me, and I'm thankful for that today. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 1. Look at what he said. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. You know what that verse shows me? That every son, every daughter, has a choice to make. Whose instruction are you going to follow? A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. I remember my father telling me as he pulled his belt out of the loops on his pants, and he made a little loop out of that, okay? And he'd pop it like this, okay? And he would look at me and he'd say, son, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. And when he finished with me, I thought, how in the world could that ever hurt him? He never got a lick. He never felt a piece of that. I can't even sit down. I was ashamed to wear shorts at school or out in the play, you know, outside, because they'd see those whelps on my leg where that belt got hold of me. I never understood my father's instruction like that until I became a father. And I had to administer rebuke or reproof or punishment to one of our children. And boy, it broke my heart. It broke my heart. But a wise son will hear his father's instruction. Look over two more chapters, chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse number 20. Another observation that Solomon made. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Well, that's an observation that was made. A wise son maketh a glad father, but you're foolish when you despise your mother. The instruction that you receive. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Boy, what an observation. He's saying here, listen, you need to make sure you hang with the right crowd. And folks, listen to me today. That applies even to us today. You need to watch who you hang with. Folks that run the Lord down, run the church down, run other servants of God down, we don't need to hang around with folks like that. Listen, you need to stay faithful to God. You need to be a wise son that keepeth the law. We see the difference between biblical promises here and biblical proverbs. But I want you to understand as we close this lesson out. He said it's to understand biblical proverbs also. If you read here in Proverbs chapter 1, okay, in verse number 1 and 2, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. All right? We see here, listen, a proverb is a statement of wisdom that results from an observation of truth. And it's been applied and it's been put to work in someone's life. When a person lives within the parameters and the guidelines of God's Word, they gain knowledge that translates into experience. And then that experience then produces wisdom in their lives. And it gives knowledge, and it's evident and observable to all those folks around them that they have been with God. Now, I want you to understand something today. That doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through some trials and tribulations and heartaches and troubles and all kinds of things that go wrong in a person's life. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn over to the book of Romans just a moment. Romans chapter number 5. And in Romans chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul makes a statement here. And he said this, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but look at this, but we glory in tribulations also. I have to ask myself sometimes, how many times do I glory in tribulation? How many times do you glory in tribulation? Do you do like I do? You fuss about it, right? Lord, why in the world did you let this happen to me? Because he's trying to teach me something. Listen, he said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation work of patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We see here that, listen, through these tribulations, God has a purpose, and that purpose is for us to have hope. And in that hope that we have in Christ, he gives us boldness to be the witnesses for him that we need to be. Is that not what we saw in Acts chapter 4 when we looked at that a few moments ago? Listen, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They said, wow, there's something different about these folks. Listen, there's something different about them. What was the difference? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, let me ask you something today. How many people around us today can make that observation? How many folks, when we go through all the heartaches and the trials and the burdens and the things that we go through, how many folks can see that we've still been with Jesus? Many of you ask me, Brother Ray, how you doing today? And I always try to give the same answer no matter what is going on in my life. And what is that answer? Saved by grace. And you know why? Because I am, and I always will be, and nothing can change that today. Amen. I may be as ugly can be. I may be sick in the head or in the stomach or in the body. I may not feel good. I may not look good. I may not, you know, my wife and I could have had a spat. My dog may have left me. All kinds of things may have happened, okay? But no matter what happens, folks, we're still saved by God's wonderful grace. We've got a hope today. We've got a blessed hope today. And that blessed hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That needs to be our goal today. That everywhere we go, everywhere we meet people, that they can see Christ in us. That is the true wisdom that God wants us to have. They need to see. Listen, James put it this way as he closed out in the book of James chapter 1. He said this, he said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." He's looking in the mirror is what he's saying. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen. Folks, we need God's wisdom in what we do. And let me ask you today, what are your perceptions for really living the life that you're living today? Is it just a gain? Is it to one day say, you know what, I'm going to retire one day and just live off my savings? Well, boy, what if the banks fail? You know what? What if all your possessions are burned up in a fire somewhere? What have you got yet to live for? For me to live is Christ. And to die and to lose all those things that we have in this world is gain. We need to see the true wisdom that comes only from God today. Next week we'll start a new lesson on this. But I want you to understand that there is a difference today between godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And we need to live in the truth of God's wisdom today, don't we? We need to live in that today. Let's pray as we get ready to go into the service. Father, Lord, I know that there are many today in this world that think that, boy, they've got all the wisdom that anyone could ever want. But Father, the wisdom of this world is just foolishness in your eyes. Help us, Lord, to stay wise in your word. Help us, Lord, to be grounded upon the word of God. And to not just be hearers of this word, but to be doers of the word as well. Why? So that folks can see Christ in us. Help us, Lord, in this new year, that we will get a new perception of living the life that you've given us to live, and that we live that life to please you, to serve you, to stay in your word, and to live for you. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We pray now, God, for our pastor as he stands to preach. Bless him and strengthen him today. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.